I want to read our scripture this morning, and the scripture text for today is from the book of John, the sixth chapter, John chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 25, and I'm going to read down through verse 35. John 6, verses 25 through 35. Comes right after Luke, right before Acts. I'll be there any minute now. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. When they found him, this is the crowd that Jesus had fed the loaves and the fish to. 5,000 of them, 5,000 women or men at least, and then there were women and children as well. It's a big crowd. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And you got to know the previous part of the story, because he's fed them. He's gone across the lake, and they followed him there because they've been seeing him do all these incredible miracles and wonders and signs. And so they follow him. And Jesus looks at the crowd coming, and he asks one of his disciples, he said, "Where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people?" And what do you think the disciple said? He says, "I don't know." And then Peter, how many of you know Peter? Peter says, "Lord, there's a kid here. He's got 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish, but I don't know how far that's going to go with this crowd." You know, it's amazing to me that no matter what the situation, Peter could always say something. He feeds the people. And then they decide, after he's taught, that they need to overthrow Rome, and he needs to be the leader because he is the one who's fulfilling the prophecies that have been in the Hebrew scriptures all along about how there were going to be a deliverer. And so they've made up their mind they're going to make him the Messiah. They're going to make him the one who's going to overthrow Rome. They had an idea of what it was going to be like when the Messiah came. And he was it. Well, Jesus knew that. And as far as Jesus was concerned, they were up to no good. So he went off to a mountain by himself, alone. He hid out. He got away from them. And he did that a lot. And it says, when they found him, when they finally found him, he was on the other side of a lake, not where they expected him to be. And we'll talk about that just in a minute. But when they found him, they said, "When did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me. You were not looking for me, or you were looking for me, not because of the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they ask him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent." So they ask him, "What signs then will you give so that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said, "Always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. There is one word that captures our natural reactions when we encounter the living Christ. Surprise. He takes everything we think we know and turns it upside down. That's what happened in this story. What they thought they knew, Jesus showed to them they didn't know at all. He surprised them. This story that is given to us in our text is full of surprises. And it's not the only one in the Gospels like that, is it? Can you think of some other times when Jesus was surprising, that he did surprising stuff? Now, you don't have to jump up. You don't have to say anything, but I want you to think about it. Hey, how about a few chapters back in the book of John, when John told the story of that Samaritan woman? How many of you remember the woman at the well? You remember that story? How many of y'all never hold up your hands no matter what anybody says? The Bible says that they went through Samaria, and it was unusual for them to go through Samaria. That wasn't the way you usually went. But they went through Samaria. The reason they didn't go through Samaria was because the Jewish people didn't like the Samaritan people, and they didn't want to be around them. So they took the long route to get to wherever they needed to go rather than to go through Samaria. And that's exactly what the disciples expected Jesus to do, but that's not what he did. He did something very surprising, just like in our text. And then they stopped at a rest area, and they left Jesus at the rest area while they went to find some food. I don't know if there was like a McDonald's or a KFC or if there was a Chipotle. I have no idea. But the guys went to get some food for Jesus and for themselves. And while they were gone, how many of you remember what was Jesus doing at the well? At the water fountain there, at the rest area. He was talking to a woman. And it says here in John chapter 4, verse 17, they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. Now, he was not mansplaining to her, ladies. How many of you women know what mansplaining is? My daughter does. He was not mansplaining something to her, nor was he trying to take advantage of her. He wasn't coming on to her. He was having a conversation with her. And it says when they found him there having a conversation with that woman, they were surprised. And then there was another time. Jesus invited himself home with Zacchaeus for dinner. Zacchaeus was up in a tree. Some of you guys look like you've been up in a tree or two in your lives. Zacchaeus was up in a tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He was a little guy. Jesus was walking by. And the thing about Zacchaeus, you got to understand, not only was he a little guy, a short guy, a small guy, but he was a tax collector. And like the Samaritans, everybody hated tax collectors. Everybody hated Samaritans. Everybody hated tax collectors. Jesus is walking by, and he stops under that tree, and he looks up, and there sits this little guy. Isn't it comical to think about? And he stops, and I can just see a big grin on Jesus' face. How about you? And he looks up at him, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to go to your house today. Isn't that the coolest story? Doesn't that just give you chill bumps? My son is a preacher. Joshua is his name now. But when he was a little boy, he loved that little song that kids used to sing in Sunday school and VBS. How many of you remember it? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Do you remember it? A wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus came and Jesus said, what? Zacchaeus, you come down for I'm going to your house today, right? Well, Joshua didn't quite hear that right, and his dad's a preacher, and he kind of knows how preachers are, and he was singing that song one day at the house, and he was singing Zacchaeus, you know, all the whole thing, and then he got to the point where Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house 2 days. Surprising? They were surprised that Jesus would go to the house of somebody like Zacchaeus. And they were also surprised when they found out that Zacchaeus wasn't nearly as bad as they thought he was. Later on at the house of Simon, he allowed a sinful woman to touch him in public. That was scandalous. She was a prostitute. He healed people on the Sabbath, and he offended those who were religious because of it. He defended his disciples when they satisfied their hunger on the Sabbath. And then, you know, we could take some time here this morning and we could talk about how surprising the disciples themselves were. they were surprising picks to be appointed to his cabinet. One of them was a tax collector himself. Another one was a terrorist. How many of you knew that one of Jesus' disciples was a terrorist? Simon the Zealot. These guys were mass murderers in the day, and yet Jesus called him. And then there was that loudmouth we saw a minute ago. The one with impulse control issues, what was his name? Peter. And there were these two brothers, James and John, and they had anger management problems. Matter of fact, they were so bad that Jesus nicknamed them. He's always given his disciples nicknames. He gave these two guys nicknames. He called them the sons of thunder because they had such bad tempers. Oh, and they had a controlling mother, too. We won't go there. And then there's Judas. If you're all-knowing, help me out, Jim. If you're all-knowing, why would you choose somebody who's going to steal from you? Why would you choose somebody who's going to betray you? Why would you choose somebody that was going to hang themselves? Talk about a scandal. Surprised? Let's go back to the text. I'll pick that up in a minute. That's a good note. Jesus had just fed 5,000. Fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Surprising, amen? Y'all can say amen. All right, thank you very much. It helps me. The crowds were looking for him, but he hid himself. They kept looking for him, but he didn't come out. Jesus finally didn't come down until after dark, and his disciples had already given up on him, and they left. And so what he does is he walks across the lake. Have you heard about that story where he walked on water? As a matter of fact, the disciples are rowing, and the water is rough. The wind's blowing. The waves are high. And they look over, and guess what they see? Here Jesus goes, just boogity, boop. And they say, what's he doing now? The people, though, they didn't stop. They kept looking. Next morning, they're still looking. He's not there. Some boats come. They realize Jesus is not here, so they get in the boats. The boats come. They get in the boats. They go over to the other side, and where do they find Jesus? On the other side. He's right there. He's waiting for them. And Jesus kind of confronts them. I don't think that these guys who were looking for Jesus, this great crowd of people who were looking for Jesus, I don't think that they really should get a bad rap. I think that they're really to be commended for searching for Christ. What do you think? Now, they didn't have good motives, but come on. When you're hungry and somebody feeds you, isn't that a good thing? And I wonder as I read this, are my motives always good? And when I reach out to Christ and in my life as I have sought after Jesus, have my motives always been deeply spiritual motives? And the reality is no. But you know, I think that the Lord knows that, just like he knew about those disciples he chose. What do you think? Just like he knew about those other people we talked about. He knows all that stuff. In the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter and the 15th verse, Isaiah the prophet says this about God. He says, he is the God who hides. What do you think about that? Is that possible? Has that been your experience with God? Do you feel like God hides? Isn't that what Jesus was doing here? Wasn't he hiding? I think Jesus loves to play hide and seek. Now, the title of my sermon today is Surprise. But I could have entitled it Hide and Seek. When I was a little boy, my granddaddy used to tell me stuff. Anybody here had a granddaddy that used to tell you stuff? My granddaddy used to tell me stuff. And I can still see him in my mind. He was a big man. He was nearly 80 years old. Bibbed overalls. Cotton shirt. Beat up old fedora. And a big chaw of tobacco in his jaw. Do you know him? Some of you do. And in the mountains where I grew up in Virginia, sometimes above those mountains we would hear the thunder rumbling. And I can still see my granddaddy look up, that old beat up fedora hat on his head, and he would say, "Son, that's the voice of the Lord." And I thought that was weird. Because it seems that God was close enough for us to hear him, but he never got close enough for us to understand a word he was saying. Anybody here identify with that? In Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, Paul at Athens says, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He made mankind and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him." Did you hear that? God created history and God created space, and he did this so that we would what? Seek him. And perhaps reach out for him and what? Find him. And he says, "Those who come to me, I will never drive away." He'll surprise us, but he'll never drive us away. He said to them, "You weren't looking for me, you were looking for bread." And that's what he does. He cuts through our mess. Any of y'all got any mess? He cuts through our mess and he helps us to see our hearts. He helps us to find our hearts. Is there a difference between what we want and what we really want? I think oftentimes we don't understand that what we want isn't what we really want. What we think we want is not what we long for. A lot of times we think we want a job, but what we want is a vacation. Come on, not a vacation, a vocation. Maybe we need a vacation, I don't know. We want a vocation. And by the way, I'll chase a rabbit just real quick. Just real quick, I'll chase a rabbit. Sometimes getting a vocation isn't just about changing jobs, it's about changing how we think about the job we got. True? We think we want sex, but we want a relationship. Now, I'm not going to chase that rabbit anywhere, okay? He says, "You were looking for bread, but what you need is life." Later on, he would say, "You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood." What he was saying is, my life belongs in your body. Bread or life? What are we after? I thought, what's bread for me? When I look for bread, what am I hoping for? And this morning, let me tell you what bread is for me. Bread is amens, okay? You know, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sic'em to a bulldog, right? Somebody punch him and say, "Don't do that." Affirmation, that's my thing. That's my bread. Attaboy. Good job. What about you? Is it a job? Is it a relationship? Is it a house? Is it a job? A relationship, a house, and maybe 2.5 perfect children? Is it possible that even though there are life in all of those things, that none of those things are truly life? And is it possible that even if we lose those things, or if we never find those things, that there's still life? Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you will never be hungry or thirsty, even when you're hungry and thirsty." Jesus said, "I'm enough." Now, I would like to preach a lot more. I would like to preach a lot longer. I would like to preach until everybody here understands what Jesus said. I can't do that, though. Not just because I'm out of time, but because I can't do that. You know what the word manna means? The word manna means, what is it? It says they saw this stuff that God gave them, and they said, they called it manna, and that means, what is it? It's a mystery. I can't preach until you understand everything that this verse and this passage of Scripture is about, that these stories I've been sharing with you are all about. I can't do that. That's above my pay grade. That's not my job. My job is just to deliver the invitation. I hope you feel invited to Jesus. I hope you feel invited to the life that we find only in Christ. Amen.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to Him. Take His hand.